Turn with me in your Bibles again to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 20. The Lord said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We're going to talk about the last this morning, and this evening we're going to talk about the first. The last gospel message is given to us here in Revelation chapter 22. And if you remember from chapter 21 in reading, that in chapter 21 the Lord said, I make all things new. There's a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ. And he said in chapter 21 that he dwells in the midst of her. That's the city of God that we read about in Psalm 46. And there's a river that makes them glad, and we're going to talk about that river. He dwells in the midst of her. As a matter of fact, he's their temple, it says in chapter 21. No need for a temple anymore. No need for a tabernacle in the wilderness anymore. He is the temple and dwells with them. Not only that, he is the light. There's no need for sun, moon, or stars, or anything like that. He is the light in that city. And God's people delight in that light. But how did they get there? How did they go from the ruin of Adam, sinners before a holy God, to dwelling in the city celestial? How did that happen? Well, that's what chapter 22 is all about. How did that happen? Look with me in chapter 22. We'll read the words and then we'll come back and make a few comments about this. In chapter 22 it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Several things that we could talk about from this passage, but I just want to show us seven things if we're able to get through with them. Starting with the first three words, and he showed me. And he showed me. Who showed him? Well, it was one of the seven angels. Tells us back in chapter 21. It was one of the seven angels, and he was a fellow prophet, a servant, a preacher, just like John. And that's why he told John not to bow before him, that what they needed to do was just worship God. But he showed me. And you know what? We'll never know anything until God shows us through God's sent man. Never. Oh, we may know the doctrines, we may know some of the teachings, but we won't know it here. We won't know it in our hearts. We won't know it by the change that God makes to us, by the revelation of God to us. And God showed him. God showed him. How'd those people get into that great city, the city of God? God showed him. God showed him how. Isaiah said it this way, To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It has to be revealed. And the only way we'll know it is if God, by the Spirit of God, reveals to our heart the Word of God. That's the only way we are going to be able to know it. Paul said it this way, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they be saved? Or how shall they call if they haven't believed? And how shall they believe if they haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is God's divine method. And what God has for us here through this preacher, through this angel, through this messenger is as cold waters to a thirsty soul. So is good news from a far country. How far can you get to the throne of God? We've got some good news rolling out of that throne for us today and for all who will read and study and hear what God has to say. A preacher who has already gone to be with the Lord wrote these words, and I jotted them down. These are good words, not mine, so listen closely. In every assembly where the gospel is preached by the man of God that God has sent, the good news is sounded for all to hear. This is the wisdom and power of God, through which God has chosen to call His people to Himself, and to cast a stumbling block in front of the foolish, and to educate and comfort those who hear. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We glory in the cross. This is the gospel of substitution. Jesus Christ taking our place on the cross. He showed me. Well, what did He show me? He showed me a throne. He showed me where God sits. He showed me that God is in control. He showed me that God is sovereign. He showed me that God is a God of purpose. He showed me that He's a God of provision. He showed me that throne where God is the God of providence as the river flows out from the throne of God. He showed me that God is a God of power. He has all power. He can do all things. And He showed me as a God of providence that He does all things for my good. He showed me that He's a God of presence. There He is. On His throne. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. He showed me that He's a God of promise. All His promises are yea and nay in Christ Jesus. There He sits on the throne. He showed me the throne of God. Not only that, but He showed me the throne of the Lamb. And He showed me a pure water, river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And of the Lamb. This is the Lamb that that John saw in the heavenlies. A Lamb as it had been slain. He's a smitten Lamb. He's a Lamb that was slain for His people. He was a smitten Lamb. And if you remember back in the wilderness, they had no water. They were thirsty. They wanted something to drink. They came to Moses and complained as usual. Here we're going to thirst to death in this wilderness. We could have been back in Egypt when we'd have had the River Nile. And God told Moses, go smite that rock. Moses went over there with his rod and he smote the rod, smote the rock, and out from that rock came water. Water enough to quench the thirst of over 3 million people. That's pretty good flow. That's pretty good flow. And that rock is Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that rock followed them all through the wilderness. Wherever they went from that point on, they had water. 3 million people could go and drink and get their fill of water. They may have thirsted during the night, but in the morning they could go back and get some more. That's that river we're going to talk about. We can thirst and we can go and we can drink of the river of the water of life. And that river is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The Lamb who was sitting on the throne. John said, behold the Lamb of God, and His disciples went and followed Him. He now sits at the right hand of God. Why is it the throne of grace? That's where God meets with His people. He meets with them. That's where God sends out His love and His mercy and His grace. You see, He's the Lamb of God. He's our substitute. He's the one who went to the cross for us, who came to this earth as a man, a body that God had prepared for Him. And He sacrificed that body on the cross for His people. No wonder God was satisfied. What son would do such a thing? What son would do such a thing? Would you do that for your father? I remember back when Abraham took Isaac up on the mount. Isaac never said a word except one. Father, you got the wood and you got the fire. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb. He is the lamb. And Abraham was willing to offer his only son. God Himself willingly offered His only Son for His people, for you and me. He showed me the throne. He showed me the throne of God. He showed me the Lamb of God. And then he showed me, as he was doing that, a pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal. I remember being in Florida one time and we went by to see Crystal Springs. And those waters were clear. As a matter of fact, in some places, some 40, 50, 60 feet deep, and it's as if the bottom was right there where you could touch it. So clear. So clear. Can you imagine the clearness of the water that our Lord Jesus Christ has given and is? You see, it's a river of living water. And Jesus Christ is that living water. As a matter of fact, He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He is that living water. If you knew the water that I could give you, the living water I could give you, you would ask of me and I'd give you living water and you'd never have to thirst again. And what did the woman do when she heard all that? She left her water pot. She didn't need any other water. She only needed the water of Jesus Christ. Now, some people need other kinds of water. And that water is polluted. That water is not clear. That's the water that only man can come up with. His own righteousness, his own free will, his own way of doing things. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Only Jesus Christ has the clear, pure, living water. Clear as crystal. It's pure. It's unpolluted. Unpolluted. You'll not find any germs. I bought a house and it had a spring. The city decided that they were going to run a water line out by us, and I had to hook up to the water line. And I refused to do so. So they came out and checked my spring, and they found bacteria in it. And they condemned that spring. I still protested, and I put in a cleaning system, and I drank the water anyway. Never hurt me. Not one little bit. But here, this water, it's not going to have no germs. It's not going to have no bacteria. It has no viruses in it. It's clear as crystal. It never runs muddy. This is the water of life, Jesus Christ I'm talking about. It never runs muddy. It's never stagnant or stale. It's deep and wide coming out of the throne of God. There is a continuous flow. It runs freely. It'll never be diverted. It'll never be dammed. It will not run dry. That's Jesus Christ. It will not run dry. He's always the water of life. And you can come drink and drink and drink. Today we drink. This morning we drink. This evening we'll drink again. If you take your word, the Bible with you this afternoon and read, you'll drink some more. We can come drink anytime we want. And there's a continuous flow. And it's life-giving. It's life-giving. Our Lord Jesus Christ is life-giving. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John said it, 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Life is found only in Jesus Christ. And it's free. It's free. You don't have to pay a thing for this water. As a matter of fact, if you tried to, you'd mess it up. It's free. And once you drink, our Lord said, you'll never thirst again. Now that doesn't mean you won't drink any more of it. That just means you'll never have a thirst. You always know where to go get your water. It's coming out of the throne. It's crystal clear. And it's pure. And it's Jesus Christ. and it's a continuous flow. As a matter of fact, later on, and we'll see it as we go on here a little more in depth, but later on he tells us, whosoever will, let him come drink of the water of life freely. Everything God has for his people flows out from the throne of God. Everything flows from the throne of God. Jesus said to some, it's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You just go and drink. Now he showed me the water of life, but also in verse 2, he showed me the tree of life. And that's Jesus Christ. None other. It was first seen in the garden. Remember in the Garden of Eden? There was the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And after Adam's fall, after he deliberately, rebelliously transgressed the law of God, they were barred from the tree of life. There was a flaming sword put there. They had to be cast out. If you read the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, they had to be cast out. Would you want to leave the Garden of Eden? But they had sinned against God. And part of their punishment was to be cast out. The punishment was that they would die. Because they were cast out, because if they ate of the tree of life, what would mankind been then? No hope. No hope. So he puts that flaming sword there. I believe that's the Word of God. And I believe the only one who could go through that flaming sword was Jesus Christ himself, who is the Word of God. And by what he did for his people on Calvary some 2,000 years ago, he brought in eternal redemption, everlasting life, love like love we've never known. And now that tree is on either side. Notice verse 2. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves were for the healing of the nations. John said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see the life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. In his prayer in John chapter 17, he said, the Father had given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. This is the life we're talking about. This is the life of Jesus Christ. This is the life that he gives to his own. Now notice it produced 12 manner of fruit, and that yielded every month. Well, we're back in time. Back a few chapters before this, the angels stood upon one foot upon the sea, one foot upon the land, and cried out, time shall be no more. And we read in chapter 21 what the eternals are going to be like. And here in chapter 2, we go back to time. Why? Because that's how we get there. Right now. Do any of you remember years ago, and they may still have it, I don't know, but years ago they had the Fruit of the Month Club. And in the Fruit of the Month Club, every month they would send you a box of fruit of some kind. In the winter months it would usually be jam of some kind. the fruit of the month club. And it was good fruit. They only put in there the best. Can you imagine what the fruit of the month club is going to be like in heaven? Can you imagine the fruit that you're going to be able to eat? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can you imagine what it's going to be like every month? Well, it's right now. It's right now. You can reach out and grab some of the fruit that the Lord God offers. Why? There's the fruit of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There's the fruit of righteousness. There's the fruit of sanctification, justification, redemption. There's the fruit of election, the choice that God has made. There's the fruit of regeneration. There's preservation. Take your handful. There's resurrection. There's forgiveness. There's adoption. Justification. Faith. I can think of all kinds. But he says 12 manner of fruit. Now the Bible does say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And in another passage, the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness. That's pretty good fruit. I think I'd like to have a plate full of that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Just eat it up and enjoy what God has for His people. What God has for His people. Now leaves there are for the healing of the nations. And why do they need life? Why do they need fruit? Why do they need healing? Because of who we are. We're dead in trespasses and sins. The wages of sin is death. We're sick. Sin sick. And we need healing, and only the great physician can heal us. There he is. Water of life. Tree of life. There he is. There's Jesus Christ. Our only hope. The only way. The only truth. The only life. And let me say it this way. This tree and this water is only for thirsty and hungry souls. If you're not thirsty, it's not for you. If you're not hungry for the things of God, it's not you. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you're not hungry, you won't want any of this. If you're not thirsty, you're not going to want any of this. But let me just tell you, everything that anyone needs before a holy God is found in what flows out of that throne and what grows on either side of that river, Jesus Christ. Everything you need. He's all and in all. We live in a dry and a thirsty land.
Yeah.
We need some holy water. And I'm not talking about that little bit that they have at their little conclave at the beginning of their churches where they dip their fingers in and sprinkle it on themselves. I'm not talking about that holy water. I'm talking about the holy water that comes right out of the throne of God. It's for thirsty souls. The Lord said in Isaiah twice, He said this in Isaiah, when the poor and needy seek water, they shall be filled. Are you poor? Are you needy? Are you thirsty? Christ is the water in a dry place. And no wonder the psalmist David said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth I after thee, O God. I want a drink of that water. I want to drink it time and time and time again. I want to eat of that fruit, the tree of life. I want to eat of it time and time and time again. Oh, I know that when I put my trust in Jesus Christ, when I confess Him as my Lord and Savior, that I have eternal life. It's not something to get, it's something that's given, and God gave it to me. But I also know that daily I need to dwell in that life. I need to know more of that life. Do you know this? Jesus Christ and what He's done for us is promised. It's promised to sinners. If you're not a sinner, it's not for you. It's promised to the ungodly. If you're not ungodly, it's not for you. Promise to those that are without strength, who are weak and can do nothing for themselves. And if that's not you, this is not for you. Let me show you just very quickly those that it's not for. Look in chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now down to verse 27. Speaking of this city, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Look in chapter 22, we read in verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And then look down in verse 15. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whatsoever loveth and maketh a lie. But I'm glad that Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he listed all these things and more. And then he said, and such were some of you. You were just like that. You were just like that. Such were some of you. And when God came on your scene, when God revealed Himself to you, when you saw Jesus Christ as the sacrificial lamb on the tree, you realized it was for you that He died. God made it known to you. And it was because you were a sinner that He died there. And then, not only was He made to be sin for us, but we are made the righteousness of God in Him. What a place that's going to be. What a place that's going to be. No wonder, as I mentioned, the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That water will not have a bad taste. That fruit will not have a bad taste. It'll be wonderful. And then look in verse 16, chapter 22. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Thirsty souls will come and drink. hungry souls will come and eat. And they'll find it all in Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything God has for His people is in His Son. The lamb, the river, the tree. It's all flowing for your drinking. It's all growing for your eating. And He says, whosoever will. I'm glad He says that. Whosoever will. I fit that category. I'm a whosoever. Whosoever will. And God put it in my heart one day, listening to the preaching, and at home one evening, I said, Lord, if these things are true, I have to have it. I have to know it. Have mercy on me. And that night, God had mercy on me. Whosoever will, if the Lord has shown you Jesus Christ, He's the sovereign provider, He is salvation. If the Lord has shown you that He is your substitute, that He took your place on the cross, He did what you could not do, He died for all your sins and forgave you. If the Lord made you to know that He is the sacrifice, that He bore your sins in His body on the tree, if the Lord has made you to know that He alone is the satisfaction of God. And if you're going to get anywhere with God, it's going to be in Christ and in Christ alone. We receive all and we have all in Jesus Christ. And then notice the words in verse 17. Come. Come. Such a simple word. Come. He's not talking about coming forward in a church service. That won't get you anywhere. He's not talking about coming and asking for advice and counsel. That's not going to get you anywhere. You come while you sit there in your seat. You come by faith. That's drinking. You come by faith. That's eating. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the service this morning. The bride of Christ. The Spirit of God. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. Now, if you've heard, come. Paul said it this way, and I close with this verse. Romans 11:36. Turn there with me, please. This is the provision. Romans 11:36. For of Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, and through Him, and to Him, are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word this morning. What a blessing it is to know that there's a river flowing right now for us. A tree of life flourishing right now for us. And what a privilege and blessing to know that it's Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we pray that You would continue to bless Your gospel as it's preached here at this church. And save such as should be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.